Here is an informative, entertaining, and detailed podcast episode about the research paper Bridging AIC and Big: A New Criterion for Autoregression. Intro music. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific research and make complex topics accessible and engaging. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. On today's episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating new paper that bridges the gap between two well-known model selection techniques, the AKK Information Criterion, AIC, and the Bayesian Information Criterion, BIC.
The paper is titled Bridging AIC and BIC: A New Criterion for Autoregression, and it was authored by Jia Ding, Vahid Tarak, and Yuhong Yang. This research introduces a brand new method for determining the order of an autoregressive model fitted to time series data.
As we'll discover, this new criterion combines the best features of AIC and BIC, adaptively achieving either consistency or efficiency depending on the underlying true model. It's an elegant solution to a long-standing problem in statistics and time series analysis.
So buckle up, listeners, because we're about to dive deep into the world of model selection, information theory, and the intriguing balance between parsimony and predictive power. Jen, take us on a journey through this groundbreaking research.
You got it, Tom. Autoregressive models are a fundamental tool in time series analysis, used to model and predict the behavior of data that exhibits a pattern over time. The key challenge is determining the appropriate order, or complexity, of the autoregressive model. Not too simple to miss important dynamics, but not too complex to overfit the data.
Historically, researchers have relied on two main criteria to tackle this model selection problem: the AKK Information Criterion, AIC, and the Bayesian Information Criterion, BIC. Each has its own strengths and weaknesses.
That's right. AIC aims to minimize the one-step prediction error when the model estimates are applied to a new, independent dataset. It's an efficient approach that tends to select higher-order models, which can be advantageous when the true underlying model has an infinite or suitably high order relative to the sample size.
On the other hand, BIC is a consistency-oriented criterion that consistently selects the true model order when the data is generated from a finite-order autoregression. It achieves this by imposing a harsher penalty on model complexity compared to AIC.
The authors of this new paper recognized that both AIC and BIC have their merits, depending on the true nature of the underlying model. They set out to develop a criterion that could adaptively achieve either consistency or efficiency, depending on the data at hand.
The key insight behind their new criterion is something called the parametricness index. This index quantifies how parametric or finite order the true model is, based on the observed time series data. If the index indicates a finite order model, the new criterion behaves more like BIC and is consistent. If the index points to a higher order or non-parametric model, the criterion acts more like AIC and is efficient.
Essentially, the new criterion is able to read the data and dynamically adjust its behavior to match the characteristics of the true underlying model. This is a remarkable achievement, as it allows the method to remain robust and flexible in the face of real-world data, where the true model order is almost always unknown.
To demonstrate the adaptivity of their new criterion, the authors conducted extensive numerical experiments across a variety of datasets. They showed that their method outperformed both AIC and BIC, adaptively achieving either consistency or efficiency depending on the true model structure.
One particularly insightful example they explored was a scenario where the true model order was infinity. In this case, the new criterion behaved much like AIC, selecting higher-order models that were able to better capture the underlying dynamics. But when the true model was finite, the new criterion converged on the correct order, just like BIC.
This versatility is a game-changer for time series analysis. Rather than relying on a one-size-fits-all approach, researchers can now use this new criterion to intelligently navigate the trade-offs between model simplicity and predictive power.
Absolutely. And the broader implications of this research go beyond just autoregressive models. The author's innovative use of the parametricness index could potentially be applied to model selection problems in a wide range of fields, from machine learning to econometrics.
It's really an elegant solution to a long-standing challenge. By bridging the gap between AIC and big, this new criterion opens up exciting new possibilities for more robust, adaptive, and data-driven model selection. The future of time series analysis just got a whole lot brighter.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This is the kind of foundational research that has the potential to reshape an entire field. I'm really excited to see how this new criterion gets applied and built upon by future researchers.
Me too, Jen. Before we wrap up, I'm curious to hear your final thoughts on this paper. What did you find most compelling or surprising about the author's approach?
Well, I was really struck by the sheer elegance and versatility of this new criterion. The fact that it can dynamically adapt to the true underlying model structure is just ingenious. It's a perfect example of how innovative statistical thinking can unlock entirely new possibilities.
Definitely, and I loved how the authors were able to ground this highly technical work in such accessible and engaging storytelling. They did an excellent job of highlighting the real-world relevance and potential impact of their findings.
Absolutely. This is the kind of research that really makes you appreciate the power of rigorous, principled analysis coupled with creative problem-solving. I have a feeling we'll be hearing a lot more about this new criterion in the years to come.
I agree, Jen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you all for joining us on this journey through bridging AIC and big. A new criterion for autoregression. Be sure to subscribe to Cutting Edge Discoveries for more exciting episodes exploring the latest scientific breakthroughs.
Until next time, keep exploring and stay curious. Outro music.
Upbeat jingle. Are you tired of your autoregressive models constantly under or overfitting your time series data? Well, have we got the solution for you?
Introducing AICBIC Bridge, the revolutionary model selection tool that intelligently bridges the gap between AIC and BIC.
With our cutting-edge parametricness index, AICBIC Bridge automatically adapts to the true underlying model structure, delivering consistency when you need it and efficiency when you don't.
Never again worry about making the wrong call between parsimony and predictive power. AICBIC Bridge does the hard work for you, so you can focus on getting accurate forecasts and insights.
But wait, there's more. Order now and we'll throw in a free set of steak knives.
Steak knives? What does that have to do with? You know what? Never mind. The point is, AICBIC Bridge will transform your time series analysis game.
So what are you waiting for? Head to AICBICBridge.com and get the future of model selection today. Operators are standing by.
Wait, we have operators. Whispers Tom, we don't actually have a call center, do we?
No. But the listeners don't need to know that. Quick, play the jingle again. Upbeat jingle intensifies. Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to Illuminating Discoveries, where we dive deep into cutting-edge research to uncover the stories behind the science. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hey there. In this episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that uses martingale theory to analyze decision-making models with time-varying parameters. The title of the paper is A Martingale Analysis of First Passage Times of Time-Dependent Wiener Diffusion Models.
That's right, Jen. This research takes a mathematical approach to understanding how the brain gathers and integrates evidence over time to make decisions. The authors develop a generalized model that allows key parameters, like the rate of evidence accumulation and the decision thresholds, to change dynamically throughout the decision process.
Traditionally, decision-making models have assumed these parameters remain constant, but that doesn't always reflect real-world situations, where factors like attention, motivation, or urgency can shift over time. By incorporating this time-dependent aspect, the authors aim to capture a more naturalistic view of how the brain navigates complex decisions.
Exactly. And they use some really elegant mathematical techniques to analyze these time-varying models. Specifically, they employ martingale theory, a powerful set of tools from probability and stochastic processes. This allows them to derive closed-form expressions for key decision-making metrics, like the probability of making a particular choice and the expected decision time.
That's fascinating. I imagine incorporating that time-dependent element introduces a lot of complexity into the analysis. How do the martingale techniques help the researchers tackle that complexity?
Great question. Essentially, martingales provide a way to maintain stationarity, or fairness, in the decision process, even as the parameters change over time. The optional sampling theorem, a key result from martingale theory, ensures that the expected value of the decision variable remains constant, regardless of when the decision is made.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. So by framing the decision process as a martingale, the authors can derive analytical expressions for the decision-making statistics, rather than having to resort to numerical simulations or approximations.
Exactly. And this is a big advantage, because it allows them to gain deeper insights into how the time-varying parameters influence the speed and accuracy of decisions. For example, they can compute the precise probability of hitting the upper versus lower decision threshold, as well as the expected time it takes to make a decision.
That's really powerful. Being able to mathematically characterize those trade-offs between speed and accuracy could have important implications for understanding human cognition and decision-making. And I imagine it might also be useful for designing artificial decision-making systems that need to operate in dynamic environments.
Absolutely. The authors demonstrate how their results can be applied to study phenomena like time pressure, changes in attention over a decision, and even the optimal speed-accuracy trade-off that maximizes some reward function. It's a really flexible framework that could shed light on all sorts of real-world decision-making scenarios.
That's fantastic. I'm excited to dive deeper into the specifics of how they developed this martingale-based analysis. Can you walk us through the key steps and equations they used?
Sure. Let's get into the details. The authors start by considering a basic single-stage model, where the decision variable, let's call it X, T, evolves as a Wiener process with constant drift and diffusion parameters. This represents the canonical evidence accumulation process that's been widely used in psychology and neuroscience.
Okay. I'm familiar with those Wiener process models of decision making. The decision is made when X, T, hits one of two absorbing boundaries, corresponding to the two possible choices.
Exactly. And for this single-stage model, the authors show how martingale theory can be used to derive closed-form expressions for the key decision-making statistics, the probability of hitting each threshold, the expected decision time, and the full first passage time distribution.
That's really impressive. Can you walk us through how they do that using the martingale framework?
Sure. Let me dive into the math a bit. The key is to identify appropriate martingales associated with the Wiener process. For example, the Wiener process itself, W, T, is a martingale. So is the exponential of the Wiener process with a particular choice of parameter. By applying the optional sampling theorem to these martingales, the authors can relate the statistics of interest to the initial state of the process.
I see. The optional sampling theorem allows them to take the expected value of the martingale at the random decision time and equate it to the initial value of the martingale. That's a clever way to derive those closed-form expressions.
Exactly. And once they have the results for the single-stage model, the authors extend their analysis to the more general multi-stage model, where the drift, diffusion, and decision thresholds can all vary over time in a piecewise constant manner.
I see. So they're basically breaking the decision process down into a sequence of single-stage models, with the initial condition for each stage depending on the outcome of the previous stage. That must introduce some additional complexity, but the martingale approach still allows them to derive analytical expressions.
Absolutely. The multi-stage model is where the real power of their martingale analysis shines. By carefully tracking the evolution of the initial conditions and threshold crossing probabilities at each stage, they're able to recursively compute the overall first passage time distribution, the probability of hitting each final threshold, and the expected decision time.
That's really impressive. It must have taken a lot of mathematical sophistication to pull that off. Can you give us a sense of what some of those key equations look like?
Sure. Let me highlight a few of the main results. For the probability of hitting the lower threshold in the multi-stage model, they have this expression cheeky smiley face caret. Ms. underscore, X underscore 0. Lambda underscore 1. N equals sigma caret N underscore I equals 1 P caret. I underscore, X underscore 0. Lambda underscore 1. I, P, tau underscore I less than T underscore I, pi caret, I 1, underscore J equals 1 P, tau underscore J greater than T underscore J.
Wow, that's a nice compact formula that captures all the key elements. The threshold crossing probabilities at each stage, weighted by the probability of reaching that stage. And I imagine they have similarly elegant expressions for the expected decision time and the full first passage time distribution.
Absolutely. For example, the expected decision time is given by E, tau caret, Ms, equals sigma caret N underscore I equals 1 E, tau underscore I is less than or equal to T underscore I, P, tau underscore I is less than or equal to T underscore I, pi caret, I 1, underscore J equals 1 P, tau underscore J greater than T underscore J.
Very nice. It's impressive how they're able to build up these closed form results by carefully tracking the dynamics at each stage of the decision process. This must provide a lot of flexibility and insight that would be difficult to achieve through numerical simulations alone.
Exactly. And the authors don't stop there. They also show how their framework can handle time-varying decision thresholds, which adds another layer of complexity. But the martingale approach still allows them to derive the relevant statistical quantities.
That's really powerful. Being able to model dynamic thresholds could be crucial for capturing realistic decision-making scenarios, where factors like time pressure or changing rewards might cause people to adjust the decision criteria over time.
Absolutely. The authors provide several numerical examples to demonstrate how their analytical results match up with simulations of these more complex, time-varying models. It's a very comprehensive theoretical treatment of an important class of decision-making processes.
This is really fascinating work. I can see how these martingale-based techniques could have broad implications, not just for understanding human cognition, but also for designing artificial decision-making systems that need to operate in dynamic environments. The ability to derive these closed-form expressions is a major advantage over more brute-force numerical approaches.
Definitely. The authors even suggest that their results could interface with other modeling frameworks, like the leaky competing accumulator model, which approximates more biologically plausible neural dynamics. So this work opens up all sorts of avenues for further theoretical and computational exploration of decision-making.
That's really exciting. It's amazing how a deep dive into the mathematical foundations of these decision-making models can lead to such broad and impactful insights. This is a great example of how rigorous, theory-driven research can advance our understanding of complex cognitive phenomena.
Absolutely. This paper is a shining example of how powerful mathematical tools, like martingale theory, can unlock new ways of thinking about decision-making and information processing in the brain. It's a fascinating study, and I'm grateful the authors took the time to develop this rich, analytical framework.
Me too. This has been a really enlightening discussion, Tom. I feel like I have a much deeper appreciation for the sophistication and elegance of this work. It's a great reminder that sometimes the most impactful discoveries come from diving deep into the theoretical foundations of a problem.
Well said, Jen. This is the kind of research that really sparks my curiosity and gets me excited about the future of decision-making science. I can't wait to see how other researchers build upon these martingale-based techniques to further our understanding of the brain and cognition.
Agreed. This episode has been a great exploration of a truly illuminating discovery. Thanks for joining me, Tom. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Illuminating Discoveries.
Thanks, everyone. Here is a commercial for a new company that has emerged from the research on martingale analysis of time-dependent wiener diffusion models. Are you tired of making decisions that take forever? Frustrated by how your attention and motivation seem to wander when you're trying to make an important choice?
Then you need Threshold, the revolutionary new decision-making assistant powered by cutting-edge martingale theory.
Threshold analyzes your brain's evidence accumulation process in real time, dynamically adjusting decision thresholds to keep you laser-focused and lightning-fast.
Whether you're a CEO weighing a big investment, a scientist exploring complex data, or a hungry person trying to pick a dinner spot, Threshold will help you make the optimal decision, every time.
Our patented martingale algorithms track fluctuations in your attention, urgency, and reward expectations. We then use this data to continuously optimize your decision thresholds for maximum speed and accuracy.
No more waffling, no more indecision. With Threshold, you'll decisively hit the right choice like a drift diffusion-guided missile.
Threshold making decisions as easy as 1, 2, done. Get it now for your mobile device or neural implant.
Threshold, because your time is too valuable to waste on slow, messy decision-making. Tom and Jen. Threshold, the decision-making mastery of martingale theory, at your fingertips.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. On today's episode, we'll be diving deep into a fascinating research paper that offers new analytical solutions to a modified version of the famous Black-Scholes equation, and applies these solutions to the pricing of European put options.
The paper is titled New Analytical Solutions of a Modified Black-Scholes Equation with the European Put Option, and it was written by Juan Ospina from EAFIT University in Colombia.
This is really exciting work because the standard Black-Scholes equation, while incredibly influential, doesn't always accurately capture the real-world dynamics of financial markets. Researchers have been searching for ways to modify or generalize the equation to better match empirical observations.
That's right. Ospina's modified Black-Scholes equation introduces some key changes that allow it to better predict option prices, especially in cases where the standard model falls short. And the best part is, he was able to find exact analytical solutions for this modified equation in the context of European put options.
Analytical solutions are incredibly valuable because they provide clean, closed-form expressions that we can use to directly calculate option prices. Rather than having to rely on numerical simulations or approximations, these solutions give us a straightforward mathematical formula.
Exactly. Let's dive into the details of how Ospina arrived at these new analytical solutions. Can you tell us a bit more about the standard Black-Scholes equation and how it's typically used to price options?
Sure. The standard Black-Scholes equation describes how the price of a financial option, denoted as V, T, S, evolves over time T as the underlying asset price S changes. It has the form, partial differential V, partial differential T plus RS partial differential V, partial differential S plus 1/2, sigma squared S squared squared V, partial differential S squared RV equals 0, where R is the risk-free interest rate and sigma is the volatility of the underlying asset.
Okay. And the key to solving this equation is specifying the type of option you're dealing with, right? There are two main types, European call options and European put options.
That's correct. For a European call option, the boundary condition is V, T, S, equals max, SK, 0, where T is the maturity time and K is the strike price of the option. This means the option holder has the right to buy the asset at price K. For a European put option, the boundary condition is V, T, S, equals max, KS, 0, so the option holder has the right to sell the asset at price K.
Got it. With those boundary conditions, The standard Black-Scholes equation can be solved analytically to get closed-form solutions for the call and put option prices. These are the famous Black-Scholes formulas that are widely used in finance.
Absolutely. The solution for a European call option is VCOL T S equals S asterisk N D 1 key caret R T T asterisk N D 2. And the solution for a European put option is VPUT T S equals key caret R T T asterisk N D 2 S asterisk N D 1, where N is the cumulative normal distribution function and the D1 and D2 terms involve logarithms and the model parameters.
These Black-Scholes formulas are incredibly useful, but as you mentioned earlier, they don't always align perfectly with real-world option prices. That's where Ospina's modified Black-Scholes equation comes in.
Right. Ospina proposes a generalized version of the Black-Scholes equation that introduces an additional term, partial differential V, partial differential T plus RS partial differential V, partial differential S plus 1 half sigma S squared squared V, partial differential S squared RV equals 0, where the volatility sigma is now allowed to be a function of the asset price S, rather than a constant.
Allowing for variable volatility is a key difference. This captures the empirical observation that volatility often changes as the asset price moves, rather than remaining fixed. It gives the model more flexibility to match real market behavior.
Exactly. Ospina then looks at two specific cases within this modified framework, the sub-Black-Scholes case where the volatility function decreases with S, and the supra-Black-Scholes case where the volatility increases with S.
And the real magic happens when he applies these modified equations to the European put option. Using some advanced mathematical techniques, including Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials, Ospina is able to derive exact analytical solutions for the put option price in both the sub and supra cases.
That's right. These solutions take the form of infinite series expansions involving those special mathematical functions. It's really impressive that he was able to find such clean, closed-form expressions, especially since the standard Black-Scholes put solution involves the normal distribution function, which doesn't have a simple analytical form.
Absolutely. And Ospina validates the accuracy of these new solutions through some detailed numerical experiments. He compares the results to the standard Black-Scholes put formula and shows that the sub-Black-Scholes solution produces lower option prices, while the supra-Black-Scholes solution generates higher prices.
That's a really fascinating observation. It suggests that the modified models can better capture situations where the standard Black-Scholes formula over or underestimates the true put option value. This could have important implications for option traders and risk managers who rely on accurate option pricing.
Definitely. And as Ospina points out, these analytical solutions derived from the modified equations may be especially useful in the emerging field of quantum econophysics, where researchers are trying to apply principles from quantum mechanics to finance and economics.
That's a really intriguing connection. The techniques Ospina uses, like the Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials, actually have origins in quantum mechanics problems like the hydrogen atom and quantum harmonic oscillator. So there may be deep parallels between the mathematical structures underlying quantum physics and financial option pricing.
Absolutely. This paper really opens up some exciting new directions for research at the intersection of finance, physics, and applied mathematics. The ability to find exact solutions to these modified Black-Scholes equations is a major achievement that could have far-reaching implications.
I agree, Tom. This is such a rich and multifaceted piece of work. Ospina has not only developed new analytical tools for option pricing, but he's also hinted at connections to fundamental physics that could revolutionize how we think about financial markets. I'm really excited to see where this line of research goes next.
Me too, Jen. This has been a fascinating deep dive into a truly cutting-edge discovery. I'm sure our listeners have gained a much deeper appreciation for the sophistication and power of modern mathematical finance. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely, Tom. Until next time, keep exploring those frontiers of knowledge with us here on Cutting Edge Discoveries.
Are you tired of boring, one-size-fits-all option pricing models that never seem to match up with reality?
Well, step right up, because Comma and Lagair Options is here to change the game.
Our cutting-edge option pricing solutions are based on the latest breakthroughs in mathematical finance. That's right, we're harnessing the power of quantum mechanics to give you option prices that are out of this world.
With Comma and Lagair, you'll never have to settle for the standard Black-Scholes formula again. Our sub-Black-Scholes and supra-Black-Scholes models will have you pricing European puts like a time-traveling physicist.
And the best part? Our solutions come in the form of easy-to-use infinite series expansions. No more messy normal distribution functions. Just plug and play your way to option trading glory.
So what are you waiting for? Unlock the secrets of the quantum financial universe with Comma and Lagair Options. Visit us at commaandlagair.com to start pricing options like a super genius today.
Comma and Lagair Options. Option pricing that's out of this world. Here is an informative, entertaining, and detailed podcast episode about the research paper transfer pricing manipulation, tax penalty cost, and the impact of foreign profit taxation. Intro music. Welcome to the Research Files, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of cutting-edge academic research. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be diving into a fascinating paper that explores the complex world of transfer pricing manipulation and its impact on global taxation.
The paper is titled Transfer Pricing Manipulation, Tax Penalty Cost and the Impact of Foreign Profit Taxation, and it's authored by Alex Augusto Tim Rathke from the University of Sao Paulo.
This paper tackles a really important issue that governments around the world are grappling with: how to prevent multinational corporations from shifting profits to low-tax jurisdictions through strategic transfer pricing. Let's jump in and learn more.
Absolutely. The core research question the authors are tackling is, what is the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation when firms face potential tax penalties? And how do different rules for taxing foreign profits impact this?
That's a great question. Transfer pricing is this tricky area where multinational companies set the prices for goods and services exchanged between their own subsidiaries across borders. The problem is, they can manipulate those prices to shift profits to low-tax countries, eroding the tax base of high-tax countries.
Exactly. So governments try to combat this by requiring companies to use an arm's-length price, essentially the price that would be charged between independent parties. But the authors point out that this arm's-length principle is not always clear-cut. There can be a range of acceptable market prices, and firms can exploit that flexibility.
Right. And that's where the tax penalties come in. Countries impose penalties if they catch companies engaging in too much transfer pricing manipulation. The authors model how these penalties affect a firm's incentive to shift profits.
The key innovation in their model is separating the probability of getting caught into two components: an endogenous one that depends on how much the firm manipulates the transfer price, and an exogenous one that reflects the government's tax enforcement efforts.
That's a really clever way to capture the dynamics at play. The endogenous probability reflects the firm's own transfer pricing decisions, while the exogenous probability depends on factors outside the firm's control, like the government's auditing strategies and legal system.
Exactly. By teasing apart those two factors, the authors are able to show how stricter tax enforcement and higher penalties can discourage profit shifting, even if there's some flexibility in the arm's-length pricing range.
That makes a lot of sense. And the paper goes on to analyze how different rules for taxing foreign profits, like the proportional tax credit rule, limited tax credit rule, and foreign tax deduction rule, further impact a firm's incentive to manipulate transfer prices.
Right. The taxation of foreign profits is a crucial piece of the puzzle. If a firm's home country taxes those foreign profits, it reduces the incentive to shift profits in the first place. But the authors find that the specific rules around how that foreign taxation works can make a big difference.
For example, they show that the limited tax credit rule, which is the most common approach globally, tends to be less effective at discouraging income shifting compared to other foreign profit taxation models. The ability of firms to manage their repatriation of foreign profits undermines the rule's effectiveness.
That's a really interesting finding. It suggests that policymakers may need to rethink their approach to taxing foreign profits if they want to truly crack down on transfer pricing manipulation.
Absolutely. And the authors even extend their analysis to consider the impact of import tariffs, which can add an additional layer of taxation on intra-firm transactions and further influence a firm's transfer pricing decisions.
It's a really comprehensive analysis that tackles all the key factors at play. I'm especially struck by how the authors model the endogenous and exogenous probabilities of getting caught. That seems like a crucial distinction that gets to the heart of the challenges governments face in policing transfer pricing.
Definitely. And I think their findings around the limitations of the commonly used limited tax credit rule are really important. It suggests that policymakers need to carefully consider the design of their foreign profit taxation systems if they want to effectively curb profit shifting.
Absolutely. This paper does an excellent job of illuminating the complex interplay between transfer pricing, tax penalties, and foreign profit taxation. It's a great example of how rigorous economic modeling can yield important insights for real-world policymaking.
I agree, Tom. This study really takes us behind the scenes of a critical issue in international taxation. The authors have done a fantastic job of building an intuitive, yet sophisticated, framework for understanding the motivations and constraints facing multinational firms when it comes to shifting profits.
Definitely. And I think their findings challenge some of the conventional wisdom around the effectiveness of existing anti-profit shifting measures. It's a great reminder that there are no easy solutions, and that policymakers need to carefully consider all the moving parts.
Absolutely. This is such an important area of research, with major implications for government budgets and the fairness of the global tax system. I'm really glad we got to dive into this paper and unpack its key insights. It's a great example of how rigorous academic work can shed light on real-world challenges.
Couldn't agree more, Jen. This has been a really enlightening discussion. I'm sure our listeners have a much deeper understanding of the nuances involved in transfer pricing manipulation and the complex trade-offs policymakers face. Thanks for joining me today.
It's been my pleasure, Tom. I'm sure our audience is as fascinated by this as we are. There's clearly so much more to explore when it comes to international tax policy. But this paper provides a great foundation. Until next time, happy listening. Outro music.
Upbeat jingle plays. Are you a multinational corporation looking to maximize your profits and minimize your tax burden? Well, have we got the service for you.
Introducing Profit Shifters Inc., the one-stop shop for all your transfer pricing manipulation needs.
That's right, folks. Our team of creative accountants and crafty tax lawyers will help you navigate the complex web of international tax laws and shift those profits to low-tax jurisdictions faster than you can say arm's length principle.
Need to fudge some numbers on your intra-firm transactions? No problem. Want to exploit that sweet spot in the range of acceptable market prices? We've got your back.
And the best part? Our profit guarantee means you'll never have to worry about those pesky tax penalties again. With Profit Shifters Inc., you can maximize your global domination without the headache of, you know, paying your fair share.
So what are you waiting for? Call 1-800-SHIFT-IT to speak with one of our specially trained profit transfer specialists today. That's 1-800-SHIFT-IT.
Profit Shifters Inc., because you worked hard to avoid taxes, and you deserve to keep every last penny. Jingle fades out. Here is a detailed podcast episode transcript about the research paper Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies. Welcome to the Research Dive Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. Today, We're exploring a fascinating paper that uses a cutting-edge data analysis technique to develop a new trading strategy for financial markets. The paper is titled Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies, and it's authored by Jordan Mann and J. Nathan Kutz.
This paper is really exciting because it demonstrates how a method called Dynamic Mode Decomposition, or DMD, can be used to characterize the complex dynamics of financial markets and inform profitable trading decisions. The researchers show that DMD is capable of extracting key temporal patterns and coherent structures from market data, allowing them to build a predictive model of future price movements.
Essentially, the DMD algorithm decomposes financial data, like stock prices, into a set of low-rank dynamic modes that each have their own characteristic time evolution. By identifying the modes with the fastest growth rates, the researchers can build a trading strategy that aims to capitalize on these transient, but potentially lucrative, market signals.
That's right. The core idea is that financial markets exhibit complex, non-stationary dynamics that are difficult to model using traditional approaches. But DMD provides an equation-free, data-driven way to approximate these dynamics without relying on any prior assumptions about the underlying system.
To give us a bit more context, can you walk us through the key steps of how the DMD algorithm works?
Sure, let me break it down. The first step is to collect a time series of data, like daily stock prices, for a portfolio of companies over a certain window of time.
And how does the DMD algorithm use this data?
Well, the DMD method essentially tries to find a best-fit linear dynamical system that approximates the observed nonlinear market dynamics. It does this by decomposing the data matrix into a set of temporal dynamic modes and their associated growth rates or eigenvalues. The crucial insight is that the modes with the largest positive real part of their eigenvalues correspond to the fastest growing, and potentially most profitable, trends in the market. So by identifying these high-growth modes, the researchers can develop a trading strategy to capitalize on them.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. So the DMD algorithm is essentially extracting the key signals that are driving the market's behavior, even if that underlying dynamics is very complex.
Exactly. And one of the really powerful aspects of this approach is that it's adaptive. The DMD decomposition is continuously updated as new market data comes in. So the trading strategy can evolve along with the changing market conditions.
That's impressive. So how did the researchers test and validate this DMD-based trading strategy?
They took a very thorough, data-driven approach. First, they used historical market data to train a learning algorithm that could identify optimal sampling windows and prediction horizons for different sectors. This allowed them to find the so-called trading hotspots where the DMD predictions were most reliable.
And how did the trading strategy perform compared to traditional buy and hold approaches?
The results were quite remarkable. When applied to sectors like transportation, home construction, and retail, the DMD-based trading algorithm was able to significantly outperform the S&P 500 benchmark over a 10-year period. In some cases, the annualized returns were over 20%.
Wow, that's an incredibly impressive outperformance. It really speaks to the power of this data-driven approach to identifying profitable market patterns.
Absolutely. What's even more interesting is that the DMD trading strategy seemed to be largely uncorrelated with the broader market, particularly during times of crisis. So it provided a novel way to generate alpha and diversify risk.
That's a really important point. Being able to generate uncorrelated returns is invaluable for investors looking to build a robust portfolio. This DMD technique seems to offer a unique window into the market's dynamics.
Absolutely. And the researchers didn't stop there. They also explored ways to further enhance the trading strategy, like using adaptive sampling windows that could self-tune to changing market conditions. This level of sophistication is really impressive.
It is. This paper does an excellent job of demonstrating how advanced data analysis techniques from fields like fluid dynamics can be fruitfully applied to financial markets. It's a great example of cross-pollination between disciplines.
Definitely. And I think the broader implications are really exciting. If this DMD approach can be scaled and deployed effectively, it could revolutionize how we think about algorithmic trading and market forecasting more broadly.
I agree. This is the kind of cutting-edge research that has the potential to reshape entire industries. It just goes to show the power of innovative, data-driven thinking.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a fascinating dive into a really innovative piece of research. Thanks for joining me, Jen.
It's been a pleasure, Tom. This is exactly the kind of story we love to tell on Research Dive, pushing the boundaries of what's possible through rigorous, creative science. I'm sure our listeners are as intrigued as we are.
I'm sure they are too. Until next time, this is Tom.
And Jen, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Dynamic, upbeat music plays. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned money disappear into the volatile stock market?
Introducing Dynamo Trader, the first ever hedge fund powered by the cutting-edge science of dynamic mode decomposition.
That's right. Our team of PhDs have cracked the code on financial market dynamics, allowing us to extract hidden patterns and capitalize on the fastest-growing trends.
Using advanced fluid dynamics algorithms, Dynamo Trader can identify the trading hotspots where the big money is hiding. It's like having a crystal ball for the stock market.
Just sit back and let our AI-powered trading bots do the work. We guarantee returns that will blow away any measly index fund.
Don't settle for slow, predictable gains. Experience the thrill of uncorrelated alpha with Dynamo Trader. The future of algorithmic investing is here.
Sign up now and receive a free live hamster to monitor our trades 24/7. Because when it comes to your money, you can never have too many eyes watching.
Dynamo Trader, riding the waves of profit. Winks.
Call 1-800-DYNAMO GO to start your path to financial freedom. Upbeat music intensifies.
Dynamo Trader, where fluid dynamics meets cash flow.